Well, it is a privilege to be with you this morning and to share around God's Word and to share in worship. I know some of you here today quite more than I expected to see in the congregation that I do know, but it's a pleasure to meet with you. But I know something of the congregation here, some from friends who spend most of the summers, as many do, with a caravan in the congregation. But thinking about this service this morning, I was grateful that Angus read for me those verses in Ephesians chapter 6, because they enable us to understand something of the mindset and some of the skills, if you like, or equipment that God has given us to engage in the spiritual warfare that we're facing today. And all of that, I'm sure many of you are aware, that as the church, we are constantly seeking to move forward in witness, and I'll pray for that a little bit later on, because I'm currently convener of the Council of, not Council of Mission, I'm convener of the Home Mission, where I have the opportunity of hearing and seeing lots of what's going on across Ireland. But as we come together this morning, that opening passage talks about the whole armor of God. And we know of the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the sword, all of which are vital equipment in the armory of the believer as they seek to live and to serve the Lord. But the last section, particularly verse 18, and it says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and request. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And he goes on to exhort the people to pray for him. Dr. Eric Alexander, in one of his little books, says, "Prayer is fundamental, not supplemental." And for many of us, prayer is something that we add on, not something that is central to our lives and to our service, which it should be. There was an Episcopalian minister in Philadelphia who was involved at the beginning of a revival movement in the mid-1800s, just prior to the revival here in Northern Ireland. And one of his great joys was to see thousands of men attending meetings in the YMCA in Philadelphia. Previously, he had been excluded from his church because he had spoken against slavery and the emancipation of slaves. But he and other ministers were anxious that the gospel message should be proclaimed. And each lunchtime, they would meet in the YMCA and they would proclaim Christ and the need for salvation. And thousands of young men gathered. At one stage, there was over 5,000 of them in that meeting, listening to God's word. And in March of 1858, one afternoon, the young minister, Dudley Tang, was preaching. And he preached a rousing message, and he included in his message this little phrase, "I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty in delivering to you God's message." He proclaimed Christ. And at the end of that meeting, 1,000 young men stood up to make profession of faith. Little did he realize that that would be the last sermon that he would preach. Later in that week, most of the ministers of that time had other employment. Farming was a preference. And he was out in the barn, and his arm got caught in a threshing machine. And it had to be amputated right from the shoulder. Sadly, he lasted only one further week. But one of his colleagues, a man called George Duffield, came to visit him, and they asked him, "What is the message for us as revival ministers and for those who come to the meetings?" He replied, "Tell them, let us all stand up for Jesus." Duffield was so inspired by those last words of this young man, he penned a poem which he read and later on was added to music. The hymn, "Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus," Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Prayer is as vital as the shield, the sword, the helmet, the breastplate of the armor that God gives to us. Prayer is essential. It's our greatest resource. It's our secret resource in our spiritual welfare against the evil one. And I want to look at that very briefly this morning and ask ourselves the question, what and why is prayer so important? And the first thing that I want to note is that prayer must be continual. In verse 18 it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, I know there are a number of ministers in the church. They'll maybe answer this question, never mind anybody else. Question 178 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger catechism. Can anybody give me the answer? Be honest, I don't think I could if I hadn't had looked at it. And it's this. It asks the question, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of a spirit with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercy. What a definition of prayer. Prayer that covers all the essential basics as we come before God, confessing our sin, thanking God for his mercies, and indeed blessing his holy name. But in this verse, Paul is saying we have got to pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that our entire day is given over to prayer? Well, I don't think that's exactly what Paul is saying. We're not in a constant prayer meeting in the sense that we're going alone and spending time with God. Would that we had the opportunity to do that, but life is busy, life is ongoing, and I don't think that was the experience of Paul. What Paul is talking about is living every single minute of our days conscious of the presence of God and being able to communicate with him in that very precious arrangement of prayer. That as we go through life, when we're faced with temptation, we're able to call out to God for his help. When we see the wonders and splendors of his creation, we can afford to him the honor and glory that is his alone. And when we're facing the challenges of life, we can call upon him. That doesn't mean we fall to our knees. Often those prayers are things that happen on occasions when we are going through the challenges of life. We are to call out to God. For some, they think prayer is only something that can be offered in a formal setting. But that's not the example of Scripture. Think of the story of Nehemiah, the cupbearer to the king. We're told of his story that he had received reports of how the city of God and the temple of God lay in ruin, and he was so overwhelmed by it that his whole countenance fell. His job as a cupbearer to the king was to be upbeat, to be someone that was in the presence of the king, keeping him happy. But this day he went into the presence of the king, his face was drawn, his countenance was low. The king turned to him and said, what's wrong with you? Why have you a sad face? And Nehemiah turned to him and he said, well, why wouldn't I have a sad face when my city, the place of my father's graves, lie in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire? The king then turned to Nehemiah and said, what are you requesting? And we see one of those beautiful arrow prayers going up to God. And he said, I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, he didn't get down on his knees. He didn't run to a quiet place. He was before the king, and in the silence of his own heart, he offered up a prayer, and he came with an answer. If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, then send me to Judah, to the city of my fathers, father's graves that I may rebuild it. I love that phrase. So I prayed to the God of heaven. We have a God who's listening. Every single moment of our lives, He is the quiet watch to our lives. And the scriptures tell us His ear is always opened for our prayers. Can I share you a story? The story, and I apologize if there are any elderly unmarried ladies in the congregation, because these ladies I'm going to talk to are Minnie and Lily. Minnie and Lily were elderly spinsters. I hate that word, spinster. I remember having to fill it out in marriage registers. The condition of marriage, it's now you just write single. Before, you had to write spinster or bachelor. But Minnie and Lily were two unmarried sisters. And I remember them from my childhood because they had a home in the same street in which I lived. And they were two ladies that if you kicked a ball over their fence, you never saw it again. And if you made too much noise, Lily or Minnie or their mother who lived with them would have been at the door and telling you to be quiet. I remember when I started first in mission, and I was visiting in the district, and the missionary there told me, he said, I would like you to call with the Stanton sisters. Well, you can imagine the sweat broke on my brow because they remembered me as a child and I remember them. I met two ladies that didn't match the description that I've just given you. I met two wonderful, godly ladies who had learned the lesson of being continually in prayer. And what do I mean by that? When I sat and talked to Minnie, the oldest of the two, she told me about her day. She said, I start my day quietly alone in my room, talking to Jesus. As I go through the day, I may read my newspaper, I might read something from the Presbyterian Herald, and I pray. If we have a need, I pray. And I say, and she said, at the last thing at night, the last person I spoke to was my Savior and my God. I said, when did you ever talk to Lily? Well, we fitted Lily in around the prayer times. But her pattern was exactly the same. They had learned the lesson of continually being in prayer before God. They lived in an attitude of prayer. And what I didn't realize that she'd been praying, or they'd been praying for me, for this little boy that plagued the life out of them, and they were so delighted that I was visiting their home as a Christian worker. Pray continually. That's what Paul is exhorting us in this, the army of God. He also goes on to say that prayer should be something that is varied. You know, we've got this composite view of prayer that it has to follow this one line. What Paul is saying, there are many, many sides to prayer. Indeed, the language that he uses, two very different words. He talks about prayer, which speaks of general requests. And he talks about supplication, refers to specific requests. And both ideas are pointing us towards this picture of prayer. A prayer that is appropriate at that particular moment in time. When I got your order of service this morning, I was interested that the opening prayer is adoration and confession. It's a good Presbyterian pattern of prayer. It's something that I have used in my own life as I come for prayer. I begin with that note of adoration as we're exhorted in Scripture to proclaim God for who He is. There is that prayer of confession that we come before Him acknowledging that we have not lived as we ought. We have not served Him as we ought. And we acknowledge that we are sinners. Yes, sinners saved by grace, but nonetheless in need of God's presence to surround us always, to guard us, to guide us, and to keep us. And then there is that thanksgiving, which we'll share a little bit later on in our service. Thanksgiving for what God has done. Can you think about some of the prayers that you've offered in past days? And God has answered? Have we given time to thank God for how He has answered our prayer? Think of those 9 lepers or 10 lepers that came to Jesus. We're told that they all went away healed. But nine forgot to come back and say thank you, but one did. Prayer of thanksgiving is so important. And then supplication. Supplication is so important. That is bringing everything before God and the needs of those around us and laying hold upon God for his blessing. You know, the Lord's Prayer, which we shared with the boys and girls, is a prayer of supplication, praying that God would meet us at our need. That little phrase in the prayer in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, is a prayer which calls us to surrender all into his hands, not to worry or be concerned about anything, but to rest upon the promises of God and to rest our family and our friend. Maybe you have children like me who have not trusted in Jesus Christ. We've got to lay them before God. You've got grandchildren. You've got to lay them before God and pray that God would draw them to himself. We pray that would be in our lifetime, but we want to pray that God would move in hearts and lives. And as you pray at this time for your own congregation and pray that God would lead and guide, lay hold upon him and seek his face that God indeed might deliver in the coming days. Prayer should be varied. Thirdly, and I'm conscious of time, prayer must be persistent. He says in verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. With all perseverance. The idea is bring our prayers with earnestness, courageously and persistently before God. Prayer is to be as natural as breathing. It is to be a consistent part of our lives. It's not simply regulated by special seasons or special days. You know, we're coming into the season of Ramadan, and I work with some guys up in the hotel in Belfast, and we're at this stage in the next week or so, we will be having to change our time so they've got time for prayer. And that's when they pray. The Christian faith is not like that. We have the privilege of accessing God whenever. And we are to be persistent in prayer. And Jesus is very instructive in this. He gives a great parable there of the unjust judge who didn't fear God or fear man. He speaks of a widow who comes and she wants some justice for something that had happened to her from the adversary. And she keeps coming and coming and coming again until the judge eventually says, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now, we don't come to prayer to beat God down in prayer, but we come persistently with those needs that are resting upon our hearts. You know the needs of this congregation. You know the needs of this community. You know the needs within your family. It's not just say, Lord bless, and move on. It's persistently coming before God with intelligent prayers, praying into those situations, that God might indeed do his work in hearts and lives. And then finally, prayer must be intercessory. He says, make supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. There's a great story told about the China Inland Mission and Hudson Taylor, who headed up that work. And at a point in the ministry, there were an incredible movement of the Spirit of God. And those who had come to faith in Christ were being encouraged. And there was a growing number of volunteers for mission and ministry. And he couldn't really understand what was happening at this moment in time. That was until he came home from the mission field. And he was visiting in England and he was speaking about the work. And he met a man who introduced himself, and They started to talk, and this man knew an enormous amount of what was happening in China and about individuals and situations. And Hudson Taylor was surprised at the account that was given. And then he said, how do you know all this? He said, well, I have a friend who works with you on the mission field, and he sends me regular updates of people and situations and circumstances. And they've been added to my prayer list. And I take their names and those who are newly converted before the Lord, and I pray for them daily. Now, that wasn't a vain boast. Hudson Taylor turned around and said, at last the secret was found. A praying man, praying definitely, and praying daily. You know, I hope you don't mind me using a personal illustration here. Some of the folk here will know Noel Agnew. Noel was a giant of a man in many ways, a great encourager and a great blessing to me. I had the privilege every year for a week spending time with him in a room. Now, I can tell you he snored. But we had some of the best times during that week. Of a morning, I would have gone up and went out for a walk. And when I came back, well, when I went out, Noel was in his bed. When I came back, there he was on his knees beside his bed. And before him, he had what looked like a ledger. And I left him in peace. He finished his prayer time. Over the years, we got to know why that ledger was so big. He had the names of people and missions and organizations that he prayed for. But that wasn't all that he did. For the folk that he prayed for specifically, he was always in contact. I think every new student that went through Union College, he on the prayer list, he knew about them, where they came from, where they were going to minister. But for me, it was a once a month phone call. And he would have rang me up and you almost could put your clock to it. He said, right, big lad, what could I pray for you today? You're on my list. Now, he didn't say who he was. That was his phrase. What about you, big lad? What can we pray for you today? And I would have given him some things to pray for, and it was always a Friday morning. And I said, boys, is the lunch on the day? We had a men's lunch club. I said, yes, I'll be over. And he came and joined us, and then I lost an afternoon because he just wanted to enjoy the company and fellowship. But what impressed me was his faithfulness, interceding. And I wasn't just one. I was probably one of many hundreds that he prayed for. Diligently interceding at the throne of grace. Are our prayer lives like that? How many of us have said, we'll pray for you? To my shame, I have said that to many. And I have a very dear friend just home at the moment from Peru. And my prayer life for John was not what it should be, as I understand what he's involved in mission. Praying diligently, continually, persistently, intercessorily. But it's interesting that this prayer, this instruction of prayer, comes to an end with Paul saying, pray for me, pray for me. And what did he ask for prayer? Not that he would be released from the bondage of being in chains. Listen to what he says. But pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak about Jesus. What a wonderful prayer, or what a wonderful request for prayer. He didn't think about himself. He was thinking about the mission and ministry of the gospel, that he would be given the words to speak, and that he would be effective in service. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we are equipped with the armor of God if we're prepared to take on the helmet, the breastplate, the sword, the shield, the shoes. But our sacred weapon is prayer. As the hymn says, each piece put on with prayer and stand up for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that for your word. We pray that as your Spirit takes it up, that it would become a living word to all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.